This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته is the Quran and we're now just over 15 days from the month of the Quran, the month in which the Quran was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I want to introduce the topic about which I want to speak to you today by saying to you that humanity has interfered in every part of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, positively and negatively. That which we have negatively affected and influenced, of course, is the environment in which we live. We live in an environment that we've polluted to such an extent that it's impossible for us to tell and to say whether what we eat and drink is clean and pure. We don't know. We don't know whether the water we drink is clean and pure. We don't know the food that we eat, as an example. But we have no choice. Everybody's eating it, so we eat it. Some of us maybe go organic. Some of us may do this, some of us may do that. But generally speaking, we don't know. And of course, science also has interfered in that science has tried to change the makeup of some of the things that we eat, the beans and the millies and so forth and so on. They've created new strains of these things which farmers plant to get a bigger crop and so forth and so on. The only thing that Allah has given to us that no man can interfere with. The only thing that we have which cannot be polluted by man is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. I have perfected for you this deen. I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given you this deen in perfect form. Kamil, akmaltu. Kamil means perfect. I've given this deen to you in perfect form. Brought to you by the perfect man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man with perfect character. If you follow him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will never go astray. And he confirms that. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, as long as you, I've left for you two things, the Quran and my Sunnah. As long as you attach yourself to these two things, lan tadillu abada. You will never go astray. Never. Impossible. Nobody will be able to lead you astray and you will not go astray. And that verse, the Jews came to Sayyidina Umar and said, oh Umar, in his time when he was the Khalifa, they said, Umar, there is a verse in your Quran, if that verse was revealed to the Bani Israel, we would have made that day a holiday. We would have made that day a day of great celebration amongst the Jews. So Umar said, what verse? He says, the verse, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa admamtu alaykum ni'amati
وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. He said, if God had revealed that verse to the Jews, I guarantee you we would have made a great celebration of that day. So Umar smiled and he said, I know when that verse was revealed and where that verse was revealed. He said, that verse was revealed on the day of Arafah, on Arafah, to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we are not a nation that celebrates one verse. We are a nation that lives according to the verses of the whole Quran. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then has perfected this faith. Anybody who doubts that is kafir. Why? Because the person who says this deen is not perfect, it means that he has some inclination to perfect it himself. And that's kufr. Anybody who again says or contradicts the Quran is not a Muslim. So that verse then seals for us and completes for us Allah's favor upon us. Allah didn't say that this perfection of this deen is a burden for you. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the perfection of this deen is a favor to you. So you have no worries. You don't have to do anything except that which Allah says in the Quran and what He says in the Quran. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ Surah Al-Hashr وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا. Allah says, and whatever the Rasul gives you, take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever He prohibits you from, leave it. Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. And be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today is the 14th day of Rajab, of Sha'ban. Inshallah, in 16 days we'll be celebrating the month of Ramadan. Shahur Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. Allah says, the month of Ramadan in which Allah has revealed to us the Holy Quran. That verse tells us everything about Ramadan. And it tells us everything about what we celebrate in the month of Ramadan. In Ramadan, we celebrate the Quran. And as I said last week, Sha'ban is preparation for the month of Ramadan. Tomorrow will be the 15th of Sha'ban. And tonight is the 15th night of Sha'ban. And as a person who has had the opportunity of a minute insight into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you take a board a mile square and you take a pin and you prick a hole in the middle of that board, that is the kind of insight, if I look through that I have the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a bit of a brag because it's much less than that. I've now grown older, maybe less wise, I don't know. But I believe and I feel that my duty as a Muslim is to retain the purity of this deen. Retain the perfection of this deen to the best of my ability. And to try and inspire you to keep the purity of this deen. Don't bring things into this deen which is not part of this deen. Try and keep your deen pure. Everything else has been spoiled. Let the spoiling not affect this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have already given you the explanation of why the 15th night of Sha'ban and the celebration of the 15th night of Sha'ban is not part of the perfection of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an aberration. It is what is called a bid'ah, an innovation. And it's a simple innovation. Nobody has to be able to understand algebra and geometry to understand what an innovation is. A man came in the 11th century of the Gregorian calendar, which is the 5th century of the Hijri calendar, which is 500 years after the Hijrah. Which is approximately 470 years after the death of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many years after the death of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? 470 years. A man walked into the masjid in Jerusalem on the 15th night of Sha'ban. He was a Hafiz man. He was, they say, one of the most beautiful reciters of the Quran in his time. And on the 15th night of Sha'ban, he started making salah in the masjid. One man stood behind him, and a second man came, and a third man came, and a fourth man came. And later on, quite a few safs developed behind him in the masjid. And the people asked him, of course they were enamored by his voice as today we are, with people reading the Quran. And many of them use their reading of the Quran to mislead. Because they know that they can only read the Quran. They don't understand the Quran. But because they wear the garb, they mislead. You say, oh, I can wear bacha. He understands. He's never learned anywhere. It's just Allah has given him a good voice. And Allah has given him tajweed, which is totally different from knowing what you're reading and knowing what you're doing. Because we can't distinguish. We look at what the man looks and say, wow, he's got all the trappings of what we think he should be. So they asked him, but why are you reading this, making all these sunnah salahs, so many on this night? He says, because tonight's a very big night. Tonight is the 15th night of Sha'ban. And he recited a few hadith and so forth and so on. The following year he came again and again and again. And eventually this, people added, then they added the dua, they added, it started with a salah, with making salah, then added, people added things. And eventually this night became a night of celebration. I remember as a child, we used to make two rak'ahs, and then read Yasin, and then they make the dua, make another two rak'ahs, make Yasin, read the dua. Another two rak'ahs, make Yasin, make the dua. If I now look back and I think to myself, and then later on, somewhere along the line, we just drop the salah. So now today, they don't make salah anymore. They just make the Yasin and the dua. I ask you the question, ask myself the question. If this is part of the deen, how come suddenly somebody just decided, So who makes that decision? So this is how it started. Nearly 500 years after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so around Sha'ban and Rajab, a lot of ahadith circulated amongst the ummah. Because certain people felt that these were just good things to do. For example, there is a hadith which says, Rajabu Shahrullah. Wa Sha'ban Shahri. Wa Ramadan Shahru Ummati. It's a hadith that says, Rajab is the month of Allah. Sha'ban is my month, says the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Ramadan is the month of my ummah. This hadith was not known to anybody prior to 600 years after the death of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This hadith came into circulation in 600 years after the death of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Obviously a fabricated hadith. Not reported by Bukhari or Muslim or Ibn Majah or anything like that. But it sounds very nice. And for those of us who don't know that it is a... Now you get weak hadith and you get false hadith. There are ulama like Ibn Jawzi who wrote a book called Al-Mawdu'at. Al-Mawdu'at, as the title says, is a book which contains all the mawdu'at hadith. And what is a mawdu'a hadith? A mawdu'a hadith is a hadith which has been fabricated by somebody. Not with a link to the Prophet is weak. No, this hadith is, it's a fabricated hadith. And I'll give you the man's name later on. Completely, he said one night and he goes, Rajab Shahrullah wa Sha'ban Shahri wa Ramadan. Sounds good, sounds nice. All I have to do is to put in front Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Muslims, remember, 1,000 years ago there were no printing presses. There was no internet. There was nothing. So the people who were dealing with the great scholars, but the people down here, if they weren't connected to a scholar, they knew nothing about deen. And of course the Sufis, they exploited this. People like Jilani, Ghazali, with Sufi inclinations, exploited the ignorance of the people. Maybe they meant well, as today we also say, Ya Mari, Mensa Koma Majitu, you know, this kind of argument. The only argument that you must have for the deen of Allah is a hadith or Quran. Why? Because Allah says, I have made this deen. I have perfected this deen. I have sent Muhammad ﷺ with this deen. I didn't send it to Imam Ghazali, Sayyid Abu Qadir Jailani and your sheikh and my sheikh, no. This deen was completed on Arafah, the day Nabi ﷺ made Hajj. When I read the history of these things, I find that the popularity of these practices that we do is measured or can be measured by the sheer number of jurists who wrote against these practices. And there are people who speak about these practices and say that these practices is a matter of interpretation of the weak hadith. They say, but there is a hadith, but it's weak. So you, Faik, you say that this weak hadith, you won't accept it, but we accept it. But these bid'ah that people practice, not about weak hadith. It's about the application of that which is not in the deen. For example, let me give you an example. There are people who say that on the 15th night of Sha'ban, it is sunnah to go to the graveyard as part of this whole celebration of Nisfu Sha'ban or Ruwa or 50th night of Sha'ban. If you look at the proof of this, what do you find? You find one single hadith. Not two, not three. One hadith. Which everybody considers to be a weak hadith, and the hadith is supposed to be narrated by Aisha. When Aisha woke up and she didn't find the Prophet next to her on the 15th night of Sha'ban, and the Prophet came back and she said to the Prophet, where were you? I thought you had gone to one of your other wives. So he said, no, I went to the graveyard to make dua for the dead. One single which is also weak because it's just one hadith. But let's assume there is some weakness in the weakness of the hadith. And what does it tell us? It tells us that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on the 15th night of Sha'ban once in his whole life. Once in his whole life. To the Maqbara, which is a cross, which is maybe 20 meters from his house. If he stood at the door of his house and he looked across, Baqiyah is just across the road, isn't it? You've been to Medina, you know. The graveyard is there, the Prophet is buried here. His house was here, there's the graveyard. Which means if we see that weak hadith as something that we can do, and we want to follow that hadith because it's the sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then how many times in our life must we go to the Maqbara on the 15th night of Sha'ban? How many times? Once. Because that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. My question to those who say that, fine, They want to do it. Why is it, if this is so important, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't call his friends? You know, something happens, the first thing you tell your friend. He didn't tell Abu Bakr, neither Umar, neither Uthman, neither this, neither his other wives, only Aisha knew. And Aisha never went. So what does it tell you? Only one thing it can tell you is, if the Prophet did it, it meant nothing to him. Because he never told anybody else. It meant nothing to him. Maybe he just walked across the Baidwa and came back. Like you would wake up in the middle of the night, think about your mother and father, and make dua for them. So the debate is not about a weak hadith. The debate is about creating something and making it part of the deen. In the 13th century, there were two great scholars. One's name was Ibn Salah. The other one's name was Taqiyuddin Ibn Abdissalam. Both Syrian scholars lived in the 13th century. This discussion came up of Nisfu Sha'ban and the Salah that people make on the night of Nisfu Sha'ban. Ibn Salah, he said, he agreed initially with Abdissalam to say that this practice is a practice which is not part of Islam. That the prayer is a bid'ah, any prayer you do on this night is a bid'ah. And number two, the hadith on which it is based is false. So you have two great scholars, both agree on two things. That whatever was established of ibadah in jama'ah on this night is based on false hadith, not weak, false. Meaning fabricated. Number two, that the prayer made on this night is an innovation, also a bid'ah. The majority of the scholars agreed with this. 99% of the scholars. Not part of Islam. The minority of the scholars, including Ibn Salah, said that, but people have been now doing it for 200 years. Maybe we should just allow the people to continue to do it. Obviously, he played to the ulama like this throughout the centuries. He played to the stand. All the ulama first rejected it, but Ibn Salah says, well, you know, maybe you should just leave the people, you know, let them do it. After all, you know, making salah, it's not a bad thing to do, and so on and so on. And their greatest supporters were the Sufis. Imam Ghazali cites this false hadith, and he says also it's false in his Ihya Ulumuddin. In 1998, a version of the Ihya was printed in Lebanon. In that version of the Ihya, this hadith was taken out. And many of the other false and weak hadith was taken out. Imam Ghazali's argument was that he was so impressed with the way the people of Jerusalem made the Salah of Raghaib, as they called it, on the 15th night of Sha'ban. He was so impressed that he thought, no, I'm not going to disturb this. Let the people do it and carry on. Even if it's not part of the deen, even if the hadith is false, even if the salah is an innovation, just leave it. La bladi means the lossi means. The opponents of this view like Ibn Jawzi, and I mentioned his Kitab al-Mawdu'at, like Turtushi and Ibn Taymiyyah, and of modern scholars, The Sheikh of the Al-Azhar, Sheikh Mahmoud Shaltut, rahimahullah, who wrote a book of fatawa. And one of the fatwas that he gives in this book of his fatawa is a question which somebody asked him about Nisfu Sha'ban. And he said, Nisfu Sha'ban is an innovation. People should be discouraged from practicing it in jama'ah. If you want to sit at home and read Yasin 1,000 times, no problem. If you want to make the Hajj in the house 1,000 times, on the 15th of Sha'ban, no problem. Should not be made as a public gathering. So Sheikh Shaltut, Sheikh of the Azhar, not just ordinary person, of the modern scholars that is still alive, Taqiuddin, Taqi Uthmani, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, has given a fatwa to say this thing is a complete bid'ah, should be condemned and not practiced. Some of the other scholars that you know, Sheikh Qaddawi, same innovation, should not be practiced. Fawzan, one of the great scholars, Saudi scholars, Sheikh Uthaymeen, another great Saudi scholar, are all of the same opinion that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected his faith and this is not part of that perfection. Ibn Jawzi in his kitab in which he recorded all the fabricated hadith identifies the man who fabricated the hadith on Nisfu Sha'ban. His name was Ibn Jahdam. He was an 11th century Meccan Sufi leader. He is accused of fabricating the hadith on Nisfu Sha'ban and as well as telling lies. And it is said that when he was on his deathbed, he admitted to the fact that he had fabricated this hadith and that he told lies about Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he made tawbah. And this is written in Al-Jawzi's kitab, Al-Mawdu'at. Now, Nisfu Sha'ban, or the month of Sha'ban, is a holy month. Nobody can deny it. I've given you the hadith on fasting in this month. And the people who came before us increased their devotion in the month of Sha'ban. They increase their devotion, they increase making tahajjud salah, they increase making duha salah, they increase doing the sunan of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They increase fasting in the month of Sha'ban. But they did not, neither did the Sahaba have a public celebration of this night. I mentioned to you last week or week before last that we should not designate certain nights, unless Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, to increase our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to do it any night and maybe every night. Except for the nights which Muhammad himself has designated. Like Laylatul Qadr night, Eid nights, and so forth and so on. And I came across a hadith by chance. And because you all have cell phones and phones and stuff and you can look it up, I'm not going to give you the hadith, I'm going to give you the number of the hadith, and I want you to go and look it up, for those of you who can. This hadith is found in Sahih Muslim, in the chapter of fasting, which is chapter 24. You have tablets, you can look it up now. Sahih Muslim, Prem, you have it? Or are you sleeping? Chapter 24, chapter of fasting. Sahih Muslim. Hadith number 2740. Go and look up this hadith. I'm going to tell you what the hadith is. I'm going to go and look it up. Do some research. And see what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about devotion and when devotion should be done. And I'm giving you this particular hadith because Prophet mentions Thursday night in this hadith. Prophet mentions Thursday night in this hadith. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi salatu wasalam, says in a very famous hadith, and I quote the last verse of the hadith, كُلُّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Now I remember when I first raised this issue and the issue of elevation of the dead and so forth and so on. Somebody had posted on his Facebook page, or I think it was on the Voice of the Cape page, that I should not drive around in a white car, I should drive on a camel if I condemn everything to be bid'ah. And I'm not laughing because this is very serious. It means that we don't understand what the word bid'ah means. People will say, well, you know, if you live in a house, it's bid'ah. Drive a car, it's bid'ah. This is absolute nonsense. This is making nonsense of Islam and nonsense of the deen. Why? Because when we talk about bid'ah, we talk about innovation only in devotion. Innovation in devotion is haram in Islam. But if you want to drive a particular car or wear sunglasses or wear shoes, this is not bid'ah. It's contrasting with bid'ah. Bid'ah in Islam means bid'ah in devotion. As the maxim says, there is a maxim in the law which says that everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or everything is mubah. I can't get to the Arabic now. Al-asl fil ashya al-ibaha. The rule says, Al-asl fil ashya al-ibaha. What does it mean? It means that everything which Allah created is allowed. Meaning, allowance is the first rule. If there is something, it is first allowed. Unless, of course, it is disallowed in the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad. Like pork is disallowed. We know that. Wine is disallowed. Adultery is disallowed. Fornication. We know these things are disallowed. But if it's not written there, then it is allowed. Illa fil ibadat. Except in matters of worship and devotion. There nothing is allowed except that which was practiced by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and revealed in the Quran of Allah. So the object of this lesson, of this khutbah is to convey to you the idea is to keep your deen pure. Keep your deen pure. If you went to your doctor and the doctor examines you, he does scans and everything and heart machines and a lot, and he says to you, when he gives you the report, he smiles and he says, MashaAllah, you are in perfect health. Nothing wrong with you. Will you be happy? Of course you'll be happy. Be ecstatic. Absolutely ecstatic. Especially when you're like 75 and the doctor says you're in perfect health. Be ecstatic, mashallah. Then the doctor says to you, but Buddha, you must take this tablet. You say, but I mean, why must I take the tablet? Doctor, you just gave me a perfect bill of health. He says, you see, everybody drinks this tablet. Everybody drinks this tablet. And also, this tablet was made by a man who's not a doctor. He fabricated this tablet. in his kitchen. But I want you to drink this tablet. So why am I saying this? Because everybody drinks the tablet. Isn't that nonsense? It's absolute nonsense. You are in perfect health. Why do you need some person who's made a tablet in his kitchen to drink? And this man is not a doctor who tells you this. This man who tells you that he's a specialist. He says, don't worry, man. Just drink it, man. Everybody drinks it. Can't be harmful to you. It's just a placebo, you know. Like an aspirin or something. What will you say to him? Maybe you'll say, okay, Dr. Khimari tablets. And the minute you come outside, you throw it in the bin. You'll never drink it, isn't it? Why must you drink it? There's nothing wrong with you. So why must you do all these things when there's nothing wrong with your deen? And nothing wrong with you. You pray 5 times a day? Alhamdulillah. You fast in the month of Ramadan? Alhamdulillah. You're already thinking about giving your zakah in Ramadan? Alhamdulillah. You've been for hajj? Alhamdulillah. You recite your kalima? Alhamdulillah. So why you need tablets? Why you need extra tablets? Placebos for what? For what? Similarly with the deed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made wine haram. Why? Why is wine haram? Is wine haram because it's made of grapes? Is it? No. Why is wine haram? Wine is haram because it intoxicates the mind. Isn't it? So anything that intoxicates the mind is called wine in Islam. Even if it is made of zamzam. If you take wine and you add zamzam and you say, well, I'm adding zamzam, you know, maybe. No. Why did Allah subhanahu, everybody drinks wine, the whole world drinks wine. Your bosses and everybody, your doctor, your lawyer. May not say who else. So why don't we make it haram for us? Why? You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a Muslim to be by his clear mind 24 out of 7. A Muslim must be clear, his mind must be free and clear. Why? Because he must be a Muslim 24-7. Not only on a Friday or on a Sunday, no. So on Saturday night he can be drunk. Because he can sleep it over on Saturday night and Sunday morning go to church. No. You must get up in the morning with a clear mind and go to bed with a clear mind. So anybody says anything to you, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you will be able to think through it and think for yourself. This is the deen. Clear. Our deen is clear. Clear, absolutely clear. If you read the Quran, you'll see the clarity of the Quran. If you can live Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see the clarity of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My job, what's my job? My job is first to save myself and then you. Sorry, man. Because why, if a man can't save himself, how can he save others? I can't swim and you drowning, how can I save you? And my second job to myself is, if I'm going to stand in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah and you, what are you going to say? I say. He understood your Quran. He never told us these things. He played to the stand. He wanted to be famous. He wanted to be, people must love him and like him. Say, is that liquor, Sheikh Daiman? It's a liquor. I allow all this. No. I want to be happy here and there. You must be happy here and there. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَرَابَ النَّارِ. We want to be happy here and we want to be happy there and we want to be free from Jahannam. How do we do that? Sirat? What sirat? What are all these things that we do? These are all deviations from the straight path. Deviations. Anything which Muhammad didn't do is a deviation. In deen, in devotion. Muhammad didn't drive a Mercedes or a car. That's got nothing to do with. That's not bidah. What is bidah? Bidah is bidah in ibadah. Bidah is bidah in what? In ibadah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me and you and my family and your family. May Allah protect this whole ummah. And guide us only to the sirat al-mustaqim. Remember, when you go, when you die, you're not going to take your father with you. Your son is not going to go with you. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. The day when, what will happen? Brother will run away from the brother. The mother will run away from the children. Your father will say, my kin, lieve dagie, kom môre. You'll be alone. So all those people that you follow in the dunya, they'll all run away from you. But who must you follow? Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So tonight there will not be, not, you understand now? There will not be a lecture. My advice to you is, if you want to keep this night, do it in your house, with your family. To read Yasin, do it in your house. If you want to make dua, ask all of it, do it in your house. If you feel that you have this emotional attachment, not in the masjid. It's not part of Islam. It's an innovation. And we should protect the purity of Islam and the purity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.